Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media or downloading the podcast, whatever it is you do. I appreciate it, all of it. It's greatly appreciated. Hey, this is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy having fun, shining some light on the darkness. Hey, could you all please post any social media sites that you are on that we are live and have a live chat room? Maybe we can get some people coming on to Real Liberty Media, grow this little big giant operation that Grimner built into a fantastic platform, and it's kind of in a rebuilding phase now. The only way to rebuild it is you let people know we're on and get people over here. So please do that if you would. Tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Hal Anthony, Behind the Woodshed, 2 hours, packed full of information. He doesn't use breaks. That guy is, 2 hours full on, full of information. He completed his 500th episode a couple weeks ago. Congrats to him. And you guys should just check him out, and tell your friends to come check him out. He has a ton of information. Always great to listen to. Hey, the 21st, which is Wednesday, I'm thinking about doing a memorial show or a celebration of life show, whatever you want to call it, for Grimner. And I'll probably set up Discord so people could call in, if you have something to say, or we can take music requests in the chat room or maybe over the Discord. I don't know. One way or another, we'll get some tunes going. I have some lined up, but I'm looking for more. So if you have any you remember that Grimner liked, I have a few of them, send them to me. Let me know. Either now or, between now and then or the day of, either way, it all works for me. Last week, I just want to share this because people who are listening live and who followed me for, the year and almost 2 years now I've been doing this. That's kind of crazy. Hopefully you guys will appreciate this. So last week I did the entire show. I didn't start the video recorder. So, and about 10 minutes into the show, I realized I hadn't started the audio recorder. And of course, I always brag about these two systems I use that even if my computer shuts down, it'll be, the last word I said will be saved to a file. And here I didn't even start one of them. And the other one I started 10 minutes late. So I redid that show and reposted it or posted it because I didn't even post the first one. So I left some of the stories in my notes. I wasn't 100% sure which ones I had talked about and which ones I hadn't. But I have a bunch of new stuff today. We probably won't even get to the old stuff. But just in case we do, things happen. It was pretty damn funny. I used to just freak out when stuff went horribly wrong. But when I got done and I saw what had happened, I was just like, oh, I guess I'll have to do that again. It didn't really bother me that much, which is pretty crazy. But anyway, let's get started. There's so much to talk about. One of the craziest things. So the show that I recut was very different than the show I did last week live on the air. I spent about 45 to 50 minutes of that show talking about freedom of the press and freedom of speech. And while I was doing that, recording that show, Elon Musk was banning journalists who had doxed people. I don't know where that term comes from, by the way. I didn't look it up, but it's kind of a strange term, doxed. But basically it means posting live information about where somebody is, or posting somebody's name and address, or telephone number. I don't know. There's some information that is considered doxing. But anyway, so Elon Musk, because some young kid had figured out Elon Musk's plane number some time ago, and then actually figured out how to hack his plane number, like find out what it was, because Elon Musk had this deal where he had a private flight number, let's say, that's because the tail number you can't change. That's what identifies an aircraft. But let's say a flight number, I guess, is the best way to make this understandable. But he had a flight number that was considered private. He paid a fee for it, and every month it would change. But this kid kind of figured out how to hack it, which it wouldn't be hard to hack at all, to be honest with you. But anyway, so Elon Musk banned a bunch of journalists who had doxed people, you know, put out information that could lead to harm to somebody, right? Like, if you put somebody's address out there because you think it's funny, or, you know, you think everybody should go protest a Supreme Court justice or whatever, you know, those people, I know it sounds funny, and of course it's not so funny for those journalists right now, and I really am using the term journalist lightly, because basically they're news readers. They don't do any journalism anymore, any of them. None of them on any of the mainstream media platforms do any journalism. I mean, I doubt that any of them even write their own material. They all have writers. In fact, all of the material comes from, you know, above, for the people who are running the mainstream media. And that's why I think it's important. I'll just say it again. This is a perfect opportunity. You know, listen to independent media. Listen to content creators. Go find somebody you like and follow them and listen to them and, you know, get the information that the mainstream media isn't telling you. But I thought it was so funny that I did this show kind of talking about freedom of speech and freedom of the press. And if the definitions of those things are going to change, and then seeing these air quote journalists, let's just call them newsreaders. I'll just call them newsreaders. So they started whining and complaining, and it was really funny as hell if you'd paid attention for the last, well, forever, for the last 30, 40 years, you would realize, like, these people, so they were complaining that you can't ban journalists because they're the ones who get the truth out. Now, think of the last 2 years, all of the truth we had to endure until now, when the truths are actually being proven wrong daily. Like, literally every single day, I get a new something comes out that, you know, defies the truth of the last 2 years. And these journalists are whining and complaining because they're not getting the truth out. That you can't ban journalists. And I didn't hear one of them claim any kind of freedom of the press issue, which I really expected them to. I mean, that's the best argument, you know, it's freedom of the press. You can't quiet us. But, you know, for the past 2 years, that same company that was still privately owned by somebody else, they just claimed that it was a private business and they could do whatever they want. And, you know, it's funny to see the snowflakes whining and crying and complaining, because now the tables are turned, right? And I was just amazed to wake up the next day and see how much had gone on, and kind of during the time I cut that show, Anyway, it was kind of interesting, I thought. But yeah, and it was so fun to see these guys just, you know, crying about their, you know, rights being violated and having the news stifled. And I was thinking, you know, really, we could absolutely do without all of you. If none of you ever came back, the world would be a better place. Twitter would be a better place. Information would flow more freely and more people wouldn't be misled potentially to their deaths because of the garbage you've spewed for 2 years and will continue to spew. But anyway, let's move on. This next story is pretty... Oh, there's a lot of noise coming out of that next room. Hope it's not coming over the mic. Okay, so this next story is kind of interesting. And it's kind of scary. If you're watching the video, you're going to see like this stand of trees. It says drought blamed for shocking fir tree mortality in Oregon. And it is kind of shocking. When you look at this picture and see how many fir trees are brown in this picture, fir trees don't turn brown. Like they're evergreens. Like they're green year-round, right? So when you see how many trees in this one stand are dead, and they're claiming it's from the drought, although we have some other problems up here in the Pacific Northwest, some beetles that are causing some trouble, killing some trees. But yeah, I mean, we've had some months of drought, no, years of drought, and it's taken its toll. It says years of drought are taking a toll on Oregon's iconic fir trees. Aerial surveys led by the U.S. Forest Service and Oregon Department of Forestry found a record high mortality rate for fir trees in 2022, particularly in parts of central and southern Oregon that have endured the most severe drought. What is shocking to us is the extent of it, DePinte said. In some areas, we had over 50% mortality. So can you imagine, like a thick forest, you know, just packed full of fir trees. There's no, like, breathing room between them. And in some stands, there's like 50% of those fir trees are dead. And just think of the heightened fire danger due to these dead trees. You know, because that's just dead wood and then eventually dry wood because it's no longer able. It's dead, so it's not pumping, you know, water up to its upper, any branches. It's no longer pumping water. It's just dead, dying, drying out wood. And then you get a forest fire, a man-made fire, or whatever, and you got a ton of fuel, you know, not the green trees so much, but those dead, dry, you know, fir trees. And I don't know if you've ever seen a fir tree go up in flames, but it's shocking how fast it'll burn. It's kind of like your Christmas tree when you're done with it. If you put it outside and set a match to it, it's like a, you know, towering inferno going up there. But anyway, so it says more thinning may be needed to reduce the risk of wildfires while eliminating invasive species such as Scotch broom or Himalayan blackberry, which rob moisture from the trees. And that's a good idea, but, you know, I mean, I've said for I don't even know how long now. Probably, well, so if I went to college when I was 20-something, 22 or 3, pretty much since I became a biologist, I've been saying, you know, we do a horrible job managing our forests because we quit managing our forests properly decades ago, you know, leaving all this dead stuff in the forest and dead stuff on the ground after logging, you know, because they just won't let people go in and collect firewood even from some of these forests. And that's horrible because then you're just leaving all this fuel on the ground. You know, you used to pay $10 to go out and pick as much firewood as you could haul away. And they don't really allow that so much anymore. So, you know, all this fuel is just left on the ground for the next fire that comes along, and, you know, there goes some more forest. It's It's really sad. But anyway, the reason that this article caught my attention, and these two things aren't directly related, but it is kind of interesting. Because this next story, you never can. I got to check something here. I just want to look at how this looks on the camera. It looks good enough. It says eco-conscious Google data center gobbled up nearly 300 million gallons of Oregon City's water amid droughts, and then tried to keep that number secret. Now, what's crazy about this? You know, this big data center has just sucked the water out of. I want to make one little adjustment here. Just hang with me a sec. Whoops, right about there. We're going to maybe shrink this guy down a little bit. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that looks better. Anyway, they just, you know, so they built this big data center out in or near Oregon City. And then they start using all this water, and all the, you know, the residents there, they depend on water. The businesses there depend on water. You know, everybody depends on water. And this big data center is just sucking the life out of them because they're using so much flipping water. And like I said, it doesn't have anything to do with the fir trees, but it just so happens, like talking about droughts. And, you know, where some of this water is going. Like, the water Google uses has already fallen on the forest and worked its way down to creeks and rivers and, into reservoirs, so it could be used by cities and, you know, municipalities and communities and whatever. But it says, when the residents of the Dalles, Oregon, attempted to figure out precisely how much of their water was being used by the local Google data center amid a drought affecting over 540,000 residents in the state, the city sued on the company's behalf to keep the amount secret. Isn't that crazy? So the city actually filed a suit on Google's behalf to keep the amount of water Google was using secret. That lawsuit was dropped this week, and with it, the veil hiding the full extent of Google's water consumption. Google released its annual water metrics for 2021, revealing that it had consumed 274.5 million gallons of water last year. It withdrew 358.3 million gallons and only discharged 83.8 million gallons. So just imagine that one little data center. Man, it must have like a nuclear power plant to power it. But, it uses a lot of water. According to John DeVoe, the executive director of Water Watch, that's enough water to cover the city's 7 square miles in water 3 inches deep. So that's a ton of water, man, that Google's been using out there in the Dalles. So, yeah, you know, we got to be careful. I mean, here, you know, we look at, you know, states like California that do an absolute horrible job of putting water in reservoirs. And, doxing. Thank you for putting that in there. From a spelling alteration of docs for documents, compiling and releasing dossier of personal information on someone, doxing somebody. There you go. I hope we all learned something. I just did. Thank you so much for the input. But yeah, you know, states like California don't do a good job of storing water and, you know, kind of efficiently using water and being prepared for droughts. And here you have, you know, this beautiful Oregon community that, you know, has done such a good job for, well, decades, and now you have this big giant, you know, supposedly, like, read the headline, eco-conscious Google data center. They're eco-conscious, all right, but they're going to steal your water like crazy and use it up. So, yeah. Anyway, you know, it's just a story. Amazing. You got to keep an eye on where your water's going and always be ready to, you know, be ready to do something. If somebody's taking your water, I can't even imagine, like, how this community would survive if they ran out of water. But it seems like, yeah, they're using an awful lot of water. And could you imagine if that city had done some things like they did? And maybe they did. I don't even know. Like they do in California where they tell you you can only water your lawn like once a week for 10 minutes. Or they have so many stupid laws. Oh, yeah. And in California where they encourage you to use artificial turf, which is plastic. Horrible for the environment, horrible for animals, horrible for people. It's absolutely a horrible solution. But if you want green, you know, stuff outside your house, California recommends you put this plastic, you know, artificial crap out there, which is just absolutely terrible for the environment and everything in the environment. I've talked about in the past the wolves here in Oregon, and this is kind of a sad story, but really it's not so unusual. It says a wolf was poached near the Upper Klamath Lake, and you know, she's really pretty, kind of different, really kind of a dark, a lot of black and gray and tan in her, really beautiful wolf. But anyway, it says state and federal wildlife officials are investigating the poaching of a gray wolf near Upper Klamath Lake in south central Oregon. The wolf, known as Oregon 103, was found dead October 6th. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is offering a reward of $5,000 for information leading to the arrest of the poacher. I'm sure, man, nobody knows who poached that wolf. I mean, good on you for offering reward, but there's a lot of problems, and I'm sure they're aware of it. You know, wolves cause a lot of damage, and if you're in an area where there's a lot of, you know, farming, ranching going on, yeah, stuff like that's going to happen occasionally, and it does, and nobody's going to say a word, I can guarantee it, not for $5,000 or not. But anyway, it is kind of sad. But actually, the story goes on and kind of mentions all these other. There have been 5 wolves poached in 2022. The other 4 occurred between February and October. And then it mentions each one that they're claiming. It said poached, right? Yeah, that were poached. And then there's actually one was hit by a car. You'd never know if it was, you know, on purpose or by accident. But you know, it happens, and the, you know, same old problem between ranchers and wildlife and, you know, the Department of Fish and Wildlife and people who are concerned with the environment and protected species and stuff. There's just going to be a constant battle. You know, I feel for all parties involved because the ranchers are trying to make money raising cattle, and, you know, the environmentalists are trying to keep these animals going. In fact, I heard a little gossip or hearsay rumor that they're thinking about reintroducing grizzlies into the Cascades. I was like, oh boy, how far are we going to go? I mean, I guess it would be cool to have, I don't know. I guess it would be cool to have grizzly bears in the Cascades, but dang, man, they're scary. There's some big, vicious animals, man, and not so much afraid of human beings, but, you know, I guess restoring grizzlies would be good, but I don't know anything good about it, honestly. I mean, I'm sure it's gonna keep some people out of the woods, which probably is one of goals of the people wanting to reintroduce grizzlies into the Cascades. And I wonder how well they would do anyway. You know, because that environment has changed. I mean, same with the the wolves' environment, their environment had changed too. And yeah, we hunted them to extinction, I guess the gray wolves, out of most of the western territories, but especially Oregon and Washington and probably Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, you know, kind of a lot of these states. When this part of the country was settled, yeah, they killed everything that would, you know, kill their food supply, which, I mean, then it was like you had enough cows to feed your family and maybe sell or barter some for some other goods and services. But, you know, it kind of grew into this huge industry where we're raising beef for the entire world. And, you know, then like the wolves, you know, were already gone for the most part, or if they weren't, they were shortly after that. I actually knew somebody, she's gone now, but she actually had part of her hand blown off by these old shotgun traps. It was a shotgun shell that was set up in a way that if and it was baited, and if the wolf took the bait, the shotgun shell would shoot it and kill it. And it wasn't a gun necessarily, just a shotgun shell, probably in a pipe or something. And she happened to be out wandering around in the great outdoors when she was a kid, and apparently she found one and triggered it, and it blew part of her hand off, which could have been a lot worse. But, yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we still had some of those traps around. Nice, Moosey. Good. Anyway, let's get on to this. I have another crazy wildlife story for you. This one really caught my attention. This is crazy. 2-year-old Uganda boy swallowed alive by hippo gets rescued by a quick-thinking bystander. This is really crazy. Now, who knows? Who knows how this all happened? Like, they kind of talk about what the guy did to save the 2-year-old. But basically, this hippo grabbed a 2-year-old and halfway swallowed it, which hippos generally don't eat meat. But they are really aggressive, especially if you're screwing with them or they're angry or, you know, you're in their territory or whatever. But anyway, the boy was stuck halfway down this hippo's throat, and a local villager started stoning the hippo, I guess, until he could get to, let's see what it says. It took the bravery of one Crispus Bagonza, who was nearby, to save the victim after he stoned the hippo and scared it, causing it to release the victim from its mouth. You know, so that's kind of crazy. I mean, it's one of those stories. I mean, look at that hippo's mouth. Holy cow. I guess hippos are one of the few animals, like mammals, that can open their mouths 180 degrees. That's crazy when you think about it. And why? Because, like, they eat vegetation mostly. So, but man, they can open up pretty wide, and they have those long, sharp teeth. Ooh, that baby is very lucky to be alive. What else we got here? Let's go back and look at our... Oh, we got a bunch of stuff about the... about the censorship that's been going on. And it's really crazy. It just keeps getting deeper and deeper. The DOJ targeted right side, I forget what it's called. Well, let's just go to the story. New Twitter files show FBI flagging accounts for company to target. Emails from the FBI to Twitter released on December 16th showed Bureau officials flagging specific people for Twitter to take action against. The latest tranche of documents that bolster evidence that the government and big tech have colluded to censor Americans. I mean, this just keeps getting bigger and bigger. In one missive dated November 3rd, FBI officials flagged 25 accounts, including that of media outlet Right Side Broadcasting Network, that had created posts that may warrant additional action due to the accounts being utilized to spread misinformation about the upcoming election. The list was sent to Twitter several days later by Elvis Chan, a top official at the FBI's office in San Francisco. And then, of course, Twitter actually took action against those accounts and suspended them or banned them or censored the information that those accounts could get out. I'm really loving, like, the platforms that we use. I'm loving that we have our own platform, for crying out loud, reallibertymedia.com. And I really like that we have platforms that are serious about free speech and, you know, and letting everybody come to the table and have their own say. You know, as long as you don't do anything illegal, you know, you're going to be allowed to speak. Rumble is doing a great job. They actually have a parallel economy, which protects them from being canceled. It also protects them from people just taking away their server. Because so many sites now, I noticed BitChute last week when I went on there to upload the show, BitChute has a warning on whatever page you visit. It says the banks have, you know, secured our accounts. They're not letting us have our money. And I was thinking, why pay a little bit to, you know, have a little extra bandwidth on there so that if I want to go live, I can do that. If I want to post more than a couple free things, you know, more than the free account gives you, I can do that. And I was thinking, well, so where is my money going if I'm paying for the subscription, but the bank isn't letting you have the money? Maybe I should not be paying for that subscription. That's why I love Rumble right now. Rumble is doing everything they can to protect themselves from censorship. So if you want to go hear some people who are free to say whatever they want, go over to Rumble. You know, do a little search on whatever topic or subject, whatever interest you have, and look up some people there. I think they're doing it right, man, and I'm really happy to be able to use Rumble's platform too, because that's where I get the videos out. So knowing that somebody is, you know, already starting to cut off BitChute, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, well, now BitChute obviously is under attack for whatever reason, probably for people like me putting stuff on there I guess Rumble has good cute pet section and cooking section. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can find there that, yeah, you used to be able to get on. I mean, you still can get on YouTube, but hey, why support a platform, you know, that censors people? That's all I'm saying. By the way, this is kind of off topic, but I heard the three largest YouTube accounts, and I'm going to get the numbers wrong because I didn't commit them to memory. And like I said, it's not part of the show notes. This is an aside. The top three earners on YouTube this year was that kid. I think it's Ryan's Toys. Like I said, I'm not going to get the details right. Anyway, I think that kid, 6 years old or something like that, or maybe he's been on for 6 years and he's 10. I don't know. But he made like $48 million. I don't know. Some ungodly amount of money. And then second place was a guy they call the Beast, which all the grandkids know about. And, you know, they're always talking about the Beast. And he's, like, made $24 million. And gosh darn it, I wanted to say I knew the third one because I actually may have seen their work. But I don't know. I don't remember who it was. But, yeah, kind of crazy. People have made big money on those platforms, but, you know, they're into censoring. You know, I mean, it's cute to watch, I guess, the boxing, unboxing, Ryan's Toys or whatever it's called. He, you know, he just unboxes toys and talks about them. And, you know, there's a ton of kids out there and, you know, that are following him, and I'm sure, you know, it's a big deal. And the Beast has been on for years. He does a lot of giveaways, gives a lot of money away. Very successful guy and, you know, shares it with others. That's cool. But, yeah, you know, it's a censoring platform. So there's some great people on there who somehow survive censoring, like Timcast IRL, I think is awesome. Dr. Turley is, Steve Turley, he's awesome. Doc Rich, God, I could talk about so many guys over there that, you know, they're skirting the edge. Somehow they keep from getting censored, which is awesome, but I'm just not into any, and yeah, I do use YouTube, of course. I go there for some things. I listen to some of these guys, but if I can catch them on Rumble or BitChute, I prefer to, you know, watch them on one of those platforms because I know that those platforms don't censor people. So anyway, I mean, you know, YouTube was a big deal. It's still a big deal. It's the biggest deal when it comes to video streaming, I'm sure. But hopefully someday that changes. The more people that wake up and the less people that continue to support that, or at least not support it, you know, for when it's censoring people. Eventually, I mean, my dream would be that eventually somebody starts, exposing YouTube the way Elon Musk went in and bought Twitter and started exposing them. The thing is, as long as the same people own that company, YouTube, they're not going to expose themselves. So, until somebody else wants to step up and buy it, it's not going to happen. So we just have to live with the other alternatives we have. So back to my show notes. So also, we kind of covered the, DOJ actually, pointing out specific people to ban. And then here we have DOJ officials admits targeting pro-lifers is response to overturn of Roe. I think I did talk about this last week, but like I said, I redid that whole show, so some of this stuff might come up. The Justice Department has been targeting pro-life activists through the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. Oh yeah, now remember this? The Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances means that, you know, you even if you're just in the area and you maybe walk in front of somebody who's headed for an abortion clinic, and they interpret that as interfering, yeah, you could be arrested for that. And they actually arrested somebody for that. They took down a guy. They had, the SWAT team go out and get him with like 30, 35 SWAT members from Department of Justice show up and, held him and his family at gunpoint because he pushed an escort down, somebody who could have escorted, somebody seeking an abortion. He wasn't escorting anybody. In fact, what he was doing was yelling at this guy's son, straight in his face, yelling at him, and the guy pushed him away from his son, teenage son, 13, 14 years old, and, 2 years, nothing happened, and then the feds show up in their goon suits and arrest this guy. And that's the FACE Act. But anyway, yeah, the Department of Justice actually went up, straight up said, yeah, we were targeting pro-lifers. Yeah, we consider them domestic terrorists. So the reason I'm pointing these things out is because we're seeing more and more information come out where our government has been weaponized against at least half of us. Roughly half of the country now is public enemy number one. Now, like going back to 9/11, if you go back that far, if you read between the lines, you would know that basically what they were saying is, hey, we're going to be on the lookout for domestic terrorists. And that means you. Any of you that we don't like, we are going to be targeting. And here it is, 21 years later. And it has come full circle to exactly what they said and what they wanted way back then was to make American citizens terrorists. Whoops, I hit the mic, sorry. That they can go after. Yeah, I'm a domestic tourist. I'm a domestic terrorist. I'm sure I'd be labeled a domestic terrorist if anybody actually listened. Ha ha ha. All right, moving on. I wanted to get to the celebrities and crypto. I've seen so many people named who are getting sued because they promoted these cryptocurrencies, these crypto exchanges, and encouraged, you know, the rest of us, you know, lowly dummies to invest money, and especially invest money in the exchanges or the cryptocurrencies that they were promoting, because they were getting kickbacks from promoting specific, you know, cryptocurrency. But yeah, I mean, there's a handful of them. I know that Tom Brady got named in the FTX scandal, and there's a bunch of people on that end, and then Jimmy Fallon, Madonna, Serena Williams, and other celebs hit with class action lawsuit claiming they conspired to promote Bored Ape NFTs at inflated prices while taking hidden payoffs. There's two of them right there, Madonna and Jimmy Fallon. A class action lawsuit filed Thursday accuses a host of celebrities of promoting Bored Ape Yacht Club non-fungible tokens at artificially increased prices without disclosing their financial stakes or personal interests, thereby misleading investors and violating both state and federal laws. And here's what I have to say about this. Like, we all know that especially the actors, the celebrities that are named here, specifically, they're making plenty of money, or they have made plenty of money in the past. But they want you to be a sucker, you know, and invest in this thing, not because it's a good investment. You know, they're just pushing it because they invested in it. You know, it gets to be like a pyramid scheme then. It's like, hey, you know, we invested in it. Oh, my God. Oh, okay, I'm just going to tell you what happened. So my wife's been grilling this tomahawk steak. And because I'm busy right now. And she just brought half that tomahawk steak right through the studio. Oh, my goodness. This smells delicious. And it looked delicious. So I got to get back to it. So these celebrities, damn them, interfering with my dinner. I'll get to it here in about 20 minutes. So these celebrities, get us lackeys, you know, like, Tom Brady, I remember saying, hey, it's so simple, even I could do it, you know, which he's a pretty bright guy, you know, probably above average generally in intelligence and stuff. So, but he wants you to invest because, well, he's probably getting a kickback. And all these celebrities wanted you to invest because they already had an agreement that they were going to take money off the top of whoever, you know, invested. Freaking greedy bastards, man. Like, when don't you have enough money? I passed the point of having enough money. I don't know how long ago, but whatever it wasn't a ton of money. It was enough, you know? It was enough. I was just glad that I wasn't poor like I was when I was a child. I was just glad that I, you know, if I wore a hole in my shoes, I'm just going to go get new shoes. Like, I'm not even going to think about it. And I am not, it's funny I would mention shoes, man, because I'm not crazy about, you know, getting new shoes. I'm not crazy about getting new anything except a sweater right now. I'm kind of crazy about getting a new sweater right now. But new shoes, don't care. New jeans, don't care. Fashionable, absolutely don't care. I want functional, utility. I want clothes that are going to last. I don't want them. You know, I don't want to buy a pair of jeans with holes in them already, or freaking stone washed or something to make them look bad. I want freaking clothes that work for me, right? My wife's so awesome. I'm not kidding. My wife is so awesome. She's like the best shopper in the world. And she's always buying shirts, jeans, shoes, socks, thinking that I want them, and I don't. And she knows it. This isn't news to her, so it's not like she's going to hear me say this and be like, oh, I can't believe you said that. She already knows, you know. Like, probably don't buy me new stuff because it's unlikely I'm going to wear it until whatever I'm wearing now is worn out. And seriously, there's a lot of truth to that statement. Like, I have my favorites, you know. Like, so I'll tell you, sometimes, probably once a year, and pretty close, yeah, more Packer stuff. That's the, more Packer stuff is always good. I'll wear a new Packer shirt for sure on Packer Day, which is Monday this week. God dang it, I forgot what I was saying. Lost my train of thought. Gosh darn it. But that happens. That happens to me sometimes. The utilitarian thing is good for me. I'll wear it until that's what I was getting ready to say. So about once a year, and it's usually right about, like, probably right after the first of the year, I'm going to go to my closet, right? And I'm going to pull out a bunch of clothes to take to Goodwill or some secondhand store where people can either come in and get clothes for free or cheap or whatever. And when I go through my closet, do you think I'm going to pull out my favorite t-shirts or my favorite, you know, comfy khaki pants? Oh, no. I'm pulling out some of that new stuff that I didn't need in the first place. And I haven't actually got to yet because my old stuff is still hanging in there. Of course, now this year, I've kind of, you know, lost so much weight that, I mean, I probably have some clothes that are smaller sizes. I just haven't really started to shift into them yet. But, I'll pull out some of the new stuff. Like, some of the stuff I look at, I'm like, I'm never going to wear that. And I'll just fold it up neatly and put it in the stuff to go to the secondhand store and pass it on, you know, because it's not doing any good in my closet. It's literally just taking up space. But I did notice I have way too many shoes. Like, in this room right now, I'm not kidding. And I was thinking, I did just get a new pair of shoes that I actually wanted because everybody was talking about how good they are and whatever. So I got a new pair of shoes. I've worn them like 3 times. But I did realize it's like, okay, yeah, it's time. In fact, my old pair of shoes, you know, the ones I'm talking about, I just got done talking about the ones that worked really good that I could wear out here on the property in the mud and the rain and the chicken coop and the barn, whatever. Yeah, they actually, the sole and the body of the shoe are separated. So, you know, I get water and mud inside my shoe. Yeah, it's time for them to go. So I got the other pair of shoes just in time. It's the first time I've ever had this new brand of shoe. So it'll be fun to try it out and see how it works over the coming seasons. Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the notes. So I don't know. I'm just going to go through the notes. If you heard this before, skip it. But Governor Brown, now going governor of Oregon, just commuted the sentences for 17 death row inmates. And I just think, like, I don't know where these liberals get off doing this. And I think it's so insulting to the families who these people. Like, people on death row generally are really horrible people. Like, they've killed somebody and probably not just killed them, especially in Oregon. Like, they probably did some really creepy crap to them. Like, disgusting, perverted, horrible, nightmarish stuff to them. But because, you know, this governor doesn't, you know, I actually kind of remember I did cover this. She actually said it doesn't jibe with her religion, the death penalty. So on her way out, she commuted the sentences of all 17 people who were on Oregon's death row. And I just think of all of the victims out there and the families. Well, I should say the victims' families. And how they must feel, man. And how somebody like this ever survives the rest of her life, honestly, without somebody just hunting her down and killing her. Because, like, if it was my family member, I think I told the story before about my sister. And my sister is alive and well, by the way. But if she had been killed and the jury had decided to give that person the death penalty, and any governor came along and commuted that sentence, well, one, yeah, I would be figuring out a way. Well, I shouldn't say, but let's just say that the governor, whoever did that, would not be safe. Because I'm just at the level close enough to be that crazy. And at this point in life, you really don't give a crap, right? So you come to the, yeah, I would want to throw the switch on the guy for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And watch. No problem. Anyway, okay, so let's not dwell too much on that one. Two things coming up here. Ivermectin. I know I've talked about it before, but I do want to keep covering it so everybody knows. The FDA says Ivermectin doesn't work against COVID-19, but then points to the studies that show it does. I did cover this last time on the show that I didn't ever post, so I'm just going to cover it briefly here, and I'm going to show you the great thing about this article. Let me go back to the top. FDA says ivermectin doesn't work against COVID-19, but then points to studies that show it does. So this is what happened. They posted, they probably just went in and grabbed every study they could think of. There was like 80 of them, and 40 of the studies actually show how ivermectin was effective in reducing the spread of COVID, reducing the severity of COVID, reducing the number of people who went to the hospital with COVID. So this is a great article, and the reason I scrolled down here to this blueprint is because I want you to be able to see that you could actually go to each one of these studies and get the very source material right here from the study. I mean, you don't have to rely on somebody else's interpretation. You can literally go to the study yourself, read it yourself. And the good thing about these studies are most studies that are printed in any kind of journal, they have a little introduction in the beginning that tells you a summary, basically, of what they did, how they did it, and basically the conclusion they came to. And then if you're interested in reading all the details, you can read the entire article. But the summary will tell you everything you need to know. So this is where I go when I want to have an argument with somebody about, you know, for example, my heart doc and I had this long conversation about cholesterol-lowering meds. Because I didn't ever have high cholesterol, and they automatically put you on cholesterol-lowering meds. But there's studies that have been repeated in many different communities and many different countries that show that people who have higher cholesterol live longer. So what sense does it make to be cutting off cholesterol? But if I'm going to have a discussion like that with anybody, either professional or not, I like to grab the very article, the source material, you know, and at least let them refer to it if they want to refer to it. You'd be surprised at how many medical professionals are aware of these studies. They, in fact, they, when you bring up the names of who did the study, some of them are pretty bright. I know my primary care guy man, that guy, no, I mean, he and I have conversations when I go to see him about stuff, and we both have read the same things, which is pretty cool, actually. I wanted to go to the next story, though, because it's also along the same lines. It says, I know, I shouldn't say, uh-oh, what happened here, but I'm saying, uh-oh, what happened here? Okay, it's okay, because I have the note right here. It says, ivermectin is setting the record straight. And here's some of the things that I found in this little summary of somebody who went back and reviewed a bunch of these studies about ivermectin. It says, while the popular narrative is that the Together trial, which is named the Together trial, that's the name of the trial, showed that ivermectin didn't work for COVID-19, the actual results belie that conclusion. Ivermectin, now listen, this is important. I think if you want to use ivermectin yourself, which I recommend you have some on hand in case you need it, ivermectin was associated with a 12% lower risk of death, a 23% lower risk of mechanical ventilation. Like one quarter of people, if they were treated with ivermectin, didn't have to go on ventilators. That's pretty damn significant. 17% lower risk of hospitalization. So one in five people treated with ivermectin didn't have to go to the hospital, and a 10% lower risk of extended ER observation or hospitalization. So look at how many people ivermectin saved, basically, because if you did get hospitalized during COVID, if you had COVID, which I still don't know how they figure out if you had COVID, yeah, I mean, you pretty much were doomed if you got put on a ventilator in the hospital, because they starved you to death also. They wouldn't give you any food, and they didn't give you enough oxygen. They didn't give you any blood thinners and steroids. People who went to the hospital did not get life-saving treatment. They got life-ending treatment. And here, if people would have got ivermectin, of course, but the government wouldn't allow it, and then they actually burned the stockpiles of ivermectin they had so that everybody would go get, you know, the newest, greatest, whatever from Pfizer, Moderna, or whomever. Yeah, it would kill them, you know? But so many people could have been saved. And fortunately, so many people were saved by ivermectin because their doctors were smart enough to, you know, to get them on it. And oh, I know what I could do. Let me just copy this. We have a minute here. Oh hell. I'm just gonna put it up here, and it's gonna reject it. I'm gonna paste, and I gotta go. Sorry, I'm doing this live, but you know. Let's see, did that do it? Man, that does not look like it. Hang on. Let me try this again. I know the clock's going to run out. Oh, we got 1 minute left. Are you kidding me? Oh, look at that. Setting the record straight on ivermectin. So there's the story. Hey, you're welcome. I appreciate this. Yeah, God, I have so many stories, more stories to get to. But that's okay. We cruised right through it. Like I said, the fastest hour on Real Liberty, on Real Liberty Media. And I just want to tell you guys, I always appreciate you giving me feedback in the chat room. Live is always good. I appreciate that you come and listen to the show live or download on the podcast. You can catch me every Wednesday and Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't forget Hal Anthony Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern, and he's 2 hours of solid information. And I'll see you guys on Wednesday. 6 p.m. Eastern. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.